Let's take our Bibles this evening, and if you would please turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8, and we'll read verse 1 and make our way down to verse number 9. And we have been going through the book of Proverbs, and we notice here as we'll read again, there is a theme throughout the book of Proverbs that is contrasting wisdom with folly. And if you remember in chapter number 7, we looked at Solomon who described this scene, if you would. He was in his house and he looked through the casement and he saw a young man void of understanding, and he gives us an account of a young man who is deceived by folly. And we come now to chapter number 8 in Proverbs chapter 8. Notice verse number 1. We'll begin reading verse 1, work our way down. The Bible says, "Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge." I want you to draw your attention to the really exclamation of the first verse. The Bible says here, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice." Now, as I mentioned, we come to chapter 8, having a mind on the account of the young man in chapter number 7, that is described as being void of understanding. If you turn over, notice with me in Proverbs chapter number 7. Notice the Bible says in verse 6, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding." So that's what we have in mind. And remember what happens to this young man in verse 26. Of chapter 7, "For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her." And so this young man, who is full of strength and full of life, has been slain by folly. And so we leave chapter 7 kind of, if you would, depressed. But then we come to chapter number 8, and we come to, if you would, the contrast to this folly that's been observed in the life of this young man that is void of understanding. Again, the Spirit of God has painted a picture, a story for us of the youth, by the way, that is often familiar to us, is it not? Do we not observe that over and over again? And perhaps we've even observed that. You have perhaps even observed that in the lives of your own children, or of your children's friends. And this account has reminded you of that. Solomon is looking through the casement of his house. This is God looking upon the simple ones, the young man that is void of understanding. And remember, we described this young man, or we noted several characteristics about this young man. The simple one is described, remember, as being idle. He is also described as being indifferent. He is just walking through the streets in the night. And we also notice that he is influenceable. So we think about those three characteristics, and that's what caused this strong young man to be slain. He has been idle, he has been indifferent, and he has been influenceable. But we also noted some characteristics of the strange woman. We saw that her appearance is deceitful. We saw that her acts are deifying. She is basically lying and putting a front as if to deify this young man, and her appeal is defiled. What she is promoting is against the law of God. And it is important for us to make here a personal application to these two chapters. The truths that are taught in the book of Proverbs are not just for the youth. They're for all of us. These truths are timeless truths for all time and for all people, regardless of their age. And the truth is, the idea of becoming idle and indifferent and influenceable can be true in all of our lives, not just the youths. We often talk about peer pressure when we think about young people. Well, the truth is, peer pressure does not cease when you reach a certain age. The influence of the world does not cease when we reach a certain age, and we can be deceived, we can deify ourselves and take control of our lives and do not want God to rule, and we can be engaged in that which God condemns. And so we must take this warning seriously, not just apply it and say, well, that's for young people, and so you young people pay attention. No, it's for all of us. But I want to preach a message that I've entitled this evening in light of chapter 7 and now coming to chapter 8, and we think about how chapter 7 ended, and now we come to chapter 8 and says, doth not wisdom cry? The question is, and understanding put forth her voice. In other words, the appeal here to the young man is this. Was that really necessary? Did the young man have to be put in that position? Why was he so easily deceived? Did he not know better? And now we come to chapter 8, it says, doth not wisdom cry? That is basically what is happening. That is basically the statement as we think about this contrast between chapter 7 and chapter 8. And so I want to preach a message that I've entitled this evening, Who Has Captured You? Who has captured you? I want to give you three truths from the opening verses here, from verse 1 to verse number 9. I'm going to first of all address the contrast, secondly, the concerned, and thirdly, the contents. We come here to verse number 1, and we notice immediately the contrast. There is a contrast. Remember, the young man has been deceived. He has been influenced. Why? Because he has been found to be idle and indifferent to what? To remember the opening verses of chapter number 7. Remember, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments in verse number 2. Bind them, verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Here it is. So this is the instruction for the son. Do this. Keep the commandment. Call the wisdom, thou art my sister, and keep this close to your life. And there is a warning, because of the influence or the philosophy of the strange woman, you can be easily deceived. And it is apparent for us here that we come to chapter number 8, and he says, doth not wisdom cry? It's not that this young man has not had the opportunity to learn, but he has been influenced, he's been deceived. As we have already noted, the book of Proverbs gives us throughout the book an ongoing contrast between wisdom and folly, two philosophies, between the strange woman and the virtuous woman. In chapter 7, we looked at folly, and now in chapter 8, we are looking at wisdom. This contrast, by the way, has already been seen. If you go back with me to the first chapter, notice we, in the first chapter of Proverbs, in verse number 10, right after the short introduction to the book of Proverbs, he goes on immediately in verse number 10 of chapter 1 and says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us. So you see, this is the voice of folly, right? The sinners enticing the young man to come. But notice in verse number 20 of chapter 1, here's the contrast. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. And so we find that contrast in the very first chapter. We go over to chapter number 5 of Proverbs. Notice with me there in Proverbs 5, verse number 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Here it is, verse 3. Here's the contrast. For the lips of the strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So you see, the contrast has already been established in the book of Proverbs, and when we reach chapter 7 and chapter 8, the contrast there is continuing between the strange woman and wisdom, between folly that is being promoted and between wisdom that is crying out. So what did we just read at the conclusion of chapter 7? Remember, notice Proverbs 7, verse 24. After we find what happened to the young man who has been deceived, the Bible says in verse 24, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children." You see what he's saying is, learn from what we've seen. Do you see this scene, this account that we've talked about? Solomon looking through the casement of his house, he's recorded for us what happens to the young man who is void of understanding. Therefore, young men, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So think about that. Many strong men have been slain by her. And the question comes now, doth not wisdom cry? This is what's happened to the young man who is void of understanding, to the simple one, to the one that says, I'm not going to listen to wisdom, but yet the wisdom is crying out. And what he is saying is, this did not need to happen to the young man. I think that as we look at our world today, I will be honest with you, I look around and I am disturbed, or should I say concerned, for what's happened to many people this year. Because it seems that as soon as a little bit of things change, circumstances change around the world, it seems that people have thrown wisdom out the window as if they have never heard wisdom in the first place. To see people this year completely paralyzed and gripped with fear and depressed and as if there is no God, it's troubling. I'm talking about Christians. And we ask ourselves, how can this happened? How can wisdom just be thrown out the window while wisdom is just crying out? How does that all happen? You see, it is that which he did not do, what the young man did not do, that brought about his bitter end, as the expression is found in the first five verses of chapter 7. And so we think about those two questions, and we see this contrast. Notice in chapter 8, verse 1, doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. So the question is this, has not wisdom cried out? Now, I think the answer is yes. That yes, it has. Chapter 1, wisdom crieth without. Chapter 5, wisdom has been crying out. Wisdom has cried. So the answer to the question is this, yes, wisdom has been crying. And by the way, wisdom is still crying today. While knowledge is the receiving of truth, we understand wisdom is the practicing of truth. To have wisdom means, as we saw in the first opening lessons of this study of the book of Proverbs, to have wisdom means that a person has the ability or is practically making the right choices at the opportune time. Wisdom, according to Proverbs 15:1, is the ability to use the knowledge we have and use it in the right way. Proverbs 15:1 tells us, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. So we know that we are to receive knowledge. That's an important thing. But it doesn't stop there. Wisdom is the next step, to where wisdom takes that knowledge, uses that knowledge, and uses it in the right way. You see, we think practically, I think in my own children, we have a wood-burning stove in the house, and we've taught the children, Don't touch the wood stove. You're going to get burned. It's going to hurt. Sometimes the kids tried to help my wife cook and say, don't touch. There's a flat surface. Is that the glass stove, right? What is it called? The what? Yeah, cooktop. Well, it's the smooth one, and it doesn't seem that it's hot, but you put your hand on it, and it gets warm really quick. And you can tell the children, hey, don't do that, don't do that. They have the knowledge, but often they don't have the wisdom not to touch it. You see, wisdom is to take the information that is given to you, and then you act upon that, and you don't touch the wood stove. So that's wisdom. It goes beyond knowledge. Knowledge is important, but wisdom is the next step. Now, what we've seen, and I think this message certainly is appropriate for this year, because it seems that there's a lot of knowledge going around, and people are being informed, but there's not a whole lot of wisdom. As a matter of fact, it seems that wisdom has gone out the door. And there's a lot of knowledge going around, but not a lot of wisdom. Has not wisdom cried out? The answer is yes. He goes on to say, has not understanding put forth her voice? Now, the word understanding here means, literally, if you think about the word understanding, discernment, it means to separate mentally. It is the man who can pause to consider the truth contained in the book of Proverbs. The word understanding, again, is closely attached to the word discernment. And understanding and discernment means to basically have the ability to divide between that which is good and that which is evil. Understanding discernment means that it is the ability to discern between that which is godly and that which is ungodly, between the truth and between lies. And so here's those questions, the contrast with folly. Doth not wisdom cry? The answer is yes. And understanding put forth her voice, the answer is yes. And notice here how we find that in contrast to, remember, the appeal of the strange woman. Notice verse number 2. She, now this is wisdom, understanding, she standeth in the top of high places. That's wisdom. By the way, in the places of the paths, she crieth at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming and at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Now, that's interesting to me because that's what, and it seems to me, I thought when I was reading that and when we saw it in the first chapter and then again in the fifth chapter, I thought to myself, well, it seems today that, wisdom is kind of concealed and not many people want to know wisdom. But the truth is, that's not true. Wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is standing in the prominent place, in the high places, at the street corner, at the entering in of the city. Now, all those expressions simply means this. Wisdom is in a prominent place. Wisdom is not being hid from people. Wisdom is being proclaimed. It's not being hid. Now, what is interesting is wisdom cries. She puts forth her voice. She stands in the top of the high places. It doesn't say, notice, she doesn't just stand on top. She doesn't stand on high places. She stands at the top of high places. Wisdom makes herself evident in the places of the paths. Wisdom stands at the gates, the entry, the coming in at the door. That's where wisdom is. But notice what folly does. If you go back with me to chapter 7, notice verse number 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. That's in contrast to wisdom. Notice verse number 10. And behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. That's not being evident, not being truthful, not being forthright, not being open. It's the opposite. Verse number 12. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She's hiding behind a corner. That's folly. Notice verse number 13. So she caught him and kissed him. You see, that's unbeknownst. It just happened. He was unaware, and all of a sudden she caught him. Verse number 19. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. Verse number 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. You kind of see the idea here of the strange woman. She is lurking. She is hiding. She is deceptive. She is, if you would, silent until she has an opportunity. That is folly. And that stands in contrast to wisdom. And I think that is interesting that this, the idea, the philosophy, the folly that is being promoted by the strange woman is that which is hid, that which is done in the dark. And yet wisdom stands on the top of the mount. Wisdom stands at the gate where everybody passes by, and wisdom is crying out. Understanding is putting forth her voice, and that is the great contrast between those two philosophies. And I ask myself, well, it seems that the opposite is going on today, does it not? Well, not if you think about it practically. Why? Because I think of the voice of the parent on the life of children. You know, you would think that a godly parents would teach their children, right? Parents don't, they don't say, hey, come over here. Let me tell you how to do the wrong thing. No. The parents are often pretty vocal. Son, don't do this. Don't do that. Go clean your room. Go. It's authoritative. It's on the mountaintop. You don't say, hey, go clean your room. We don't do that. But when they get around their little friends and they run around, you know what they do? That's interesting. It becomes secretive. It's not open. It's not that which is truthful. It is that which is concealed, that which is done in the dark, and that is the contrast between the two. Wisdom, in other words, wisdom has nothing to hide. Why? Because wisdom is good. Understanding is that which helps the man, not that which hinders the man, but that which hinders the man is that which comes in secret. And I think that as we look around us and we think about that practically in our lives, and we think about our friends or our family or the culture around us and our work and our jobs and the social media and the television and all those things, it seems to me that when truth is spoken, it is spoken on the mountaintop, but when deception and evil is promoted, it's always, hey, do this over here. And it seems that there's no kind of openness and liberty in doing that which is wrong. You see, that's the difference between those two. That's the contrast between wisdom that cries out and folly that does and speaks in secret. You know, you think about this year. And the truth is, as we consider Acts chapter 27, you remember we have this scene when the Apostle Paul is a prisoner, and the Apostle Paul was did not have a degree, if you would, in sailing. Now, he had been on many journeys before. But the Apostle Paul, when he was a prisoner, he was to go to Rome, and he sailed. And remember, when they were about to sail out, the Apostle Paul spoke up and told the master of the ship and the centurion that it was not a good time to go out and sail. It was not a good time of year, and by the way, he was right. At that time, the Mediterranean during that time of year would be violent, and we know that Euryclidean happened during that time. But the point is, when Paul spoke up and simply declared the truth, he did so in an open way, and you remember they did not listen to the Apostle Paul. They dismissed him. They kind of drove him back and said, we are not interested in what you have to say. Well, guess what? Euryclidean came. And all of a sudden, it seemed that the man of God was right. And that the experts of the day, what I'm saying is the master of the ship and the centurion that made that decision, they were wrong. And the truth is, when we think about our world, we have to stop thinking about the world as if, well, there's experts in those field over here, and you know what? They have all the answers, and so we have to heed and listen to everything they say because they have all the answers, as if we are deifying a certain group of people. And then if the preacher talks about the issues of the day, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Just put him on the sideline. He hasn't been educated. And there's this idea today that as long as you are in your alley of expertise, you speak up, and if you're not in that alley, then you just be quiet. That's the lie of the devil. Everything that's going on in the world is spiritual. All that we see happening today, don't be fooled, has nothing to do with health. It has nothing to do with all the things that you see happening today. Is wisdom being taught? We have been convinced. You see all that, all the voices out there. That's why it's good to come to church. Because I think it's a good time for us to shut all the TVs off and shut all the internet off and kind of think about the Lord for a little while. To concentrate on God and to concentrate on His Word. Because if you remember, you look at this year, it seems that based upon everything you hear, that if you step foot outside, you're going to die. That's really what we're hearing. If you listen to the media and all the CNN and all those groups, these big media companies that are basically hurling at the mountaintop, everybody's going to die. Stay home. Stop your life. Don't go to Thanksgiving with your family. Stop everything in your life. That's a lie. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying the virus is a lie. It's true. It's killed people. And it's real. But what I'm saying is a whole society and a whole world has come to its knees over a virus that kills 0.03% of people. That's the statistic. That's alarming. To think that a whole world comes to its knees and listens to a small, minute amount of people and becomes totally paralyzed in this world. And I want to say, where is wisdom today? There's a lot of knowledge. A lot of people have studied about a lot of things. And certainly we've learned a lot of things. But the truth is there's not a lot of wisdom going around. You see, the greatest need for America today, I'll tell you what it is. And I'm not saying that because I'm a preacher, but that's the truth, are preachers. That's the greatest need of America. We don't need more scientists in government. We don't need a new administration in government. We don't need all the experts in different fields. What America needs is preachers of the Word of God. And what needs to be hurled from the pulpits is wisdom. It's crying without, but yet it's being ignored. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the young man in chapter number 7 has been completely engulfed by his emotions. He's been deceived. He's been lied to, he's been deified, and he completely ignores the counsel, the commandments, the law that he's learned. Why? Because he's been captivated by his flesh. His emotions are running wild. And yet all along, wisdom was crying without. And I would to God that preachers would stand up and start preaching the truth. Preach the gospel. Preach what can have an impact, preach wisdom. You see, the contrast that we see here is clear between that which is folly and that which is wisdom. So we see the contrast, but then we move in our text, we see the concern. Who is he speaking to? What is wisdom crying? Who is wisdom crying to? Notice, as we go to chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." It's almost like, wisdom is crying without it, and everybody's running around ignoring wisdom. Kind of say, well, we know what wisdom is saying, but you know, like we dismiss wisdom, and it's as if wisdom now says, "Okay, let me tell you who I am speaking to. I am speaking to you, O men." You know what that means? All people. I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. All ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. And so he's basically getting the attention of people. Says, I'm talking to you. That's who I'm talking to. Wisdom has cried. But yet it seems that you've dismissed it as if to say, it doesn't concern me. It's for somebody else. You know, you often hear that with young people when they start doing things on their own. You know, they start driving and they go to Bible college and they get a job, and it seems like they have everything figured out. And although they've heard preaching through the years and they've seen examples of people who've turned from the Lord, and yet they have this idea that, well, what happened to that person, that's not going to happen to me. And I saw where that decision led in that person's life, but, you know, I'm the exception. It's not going to happen to me. While wisdom is crying out, the young man is just keep going headlong, ignoring wisdom all along. And wisdom stops the young man and says, no, I'm talking to you. Don't ignore what I'm saying. Don't think this does not apply to you. I'm talking to every single individual. Pay attention here. Do you see where this, do you see that the strong young man has been slain because he has refused to listen to the voice of wisdom and the cry of wisdom? He says, ye simple one, O ye simple, verse 5, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. So understand wisdom is know how to separate between that which is wisdom and that which is folly. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. And so we see the concern, but lastly we see the content. What is the content of wisdom? What is found in wisdom? Notice verse number 7. For my mouth shall speak, here it is, truth. Boy, do we need that today or what? Truth. That's what wisdom speaks. Everybody has their own interpretation of facts. But as we look at the Word of God, wisdom speaks what? Speaks truth. Wisdom will never mislead us. The wisdom that we find in God's Word will not lead us astray. It will always speak truth. He goes on to say, verse 7, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. You see, the content of wisdom is rather clear. You remember, the young man was deceived. If you remember back in chapter number 7, as we looked at the young man, remember, what do we see in this young man? Verse 7, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way of her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. And so we find here that this young man, he, according to the first 5 verses, he has been taught, keep the commandment, bind them about your neck, write them upon the table of your heart. We've seen that repeated from the very first chapter. Fear the Lord. No, this young man is idle. He is indifferent. You see, he goes with the flow. And when the strange woman speaks, the Bible says she is subtle of heart. There is no truth in her. No truth. She speaks deceptively. Her appearance is deceitful. She almost gets the young man and says, you can do this. All this is done for you. It's all about you. And we know that she then goes on to speak and encourages him to do something that is defiled. You see, wisdom speaks of excellent things. I think that it's important for us at this time with everything that's going on, everything that we hear around us, to have our noses in God's Word and to think about excellent things. I'm going to tell you right now, if you turn on the news and you listen to the news 3-4 hours a day, you're not going to hear excellent things. Period. But if you open this book, or maybe tune in through the Book of Proverbs series on YouTube, or you listen to a preacher of the Word of God, you will get excellent things. You see, when our mind becomes so consumed with all things worldly, our mind will get the product of all things worldly. But if we focus on that which is excellent, that which is truth, that which is righteousness, notice verse 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth. You see, the man who says, yeah, yes, this is what I need, all this will be plain. I'm telling you, when you look at the world, this has been, and I'm thinking here and putting the world cap on, if you would, this year has been a confusing year. It's really been a confusing year. On the one hand, you have people that say, hey, you can't, the governor of this state, you can't go to church, not more than 10 people. But then the very next week, he tweets out and says, hey, I encourage everybody to go into peaceful protest. And Dover saw hundreds of people gathered together marching down the streets. And I'm thinking, wait. That's confusing. You can't go to church. You can't have more than 10 people in church. But then at the same time, he encourages people to go on the street and yell in people's faces. It makes no sense. Confusion. That's what the world brings. And that's why we say, see, we can get stirred up and look at that and just say, oh, look at what's going on. No. Let's get our nose in the book. Let's read of excellent things. Let's read about the truth. You see, all that's happening, we already know all that would happen. We should not be surprised of everything that's happened this year because we've been talking about it for centuries. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Things like that are going to happen. And now they're here. And it's not the time to throw wisdom out the door. It's time to get in the book. And the question we ask ourselves here, who has captured us? Has folly, the wisdom of the world, is that what's captured us? Is that what we've been consumed with? Or have we been consumed with the excellent things of this book? With the truth of this book? With the righteousness of this book? And all that, if we are people of understanding, everything Scripture will be all, the Bible says, plain to us. And so may the Lord help us not to be captured, bombarded by all things worldly, but to see how quickly we can become influenced when we just become focused on the wrong things. Let us not become distracted. You know, I'm thinking, the young man in chapter number 7, remember he was idle and indifferent and influenceable? I'm thinking as Christians, we can't be idle right now. Nor can we be indifferent to what's going on. Nor can we be influenced. You know, be very careful. The language today is, there is a new normal. We need to have a new normal. You hear experts today say, we may never shake hands again. Don't listen to that foolishness. The new normal is the philosophy of the world. No family Thanksgiving, no church, not more than 10 people. All of that is being promoted, don't let those things capture you. Keep your mind in the Word of God. We're not serving society, we are serving God. And may the Lord help us not to be captured by the philosophy of the world, but to be captured by wisdom. Wisdom is crying out. It's just a matter of who we will submit to.